Radio Prague News. The police have arrested two men who knowingly distributed a lethal methanol mixture to alcohol producers. President Klaus has vetoed the government's pension reform bill, and trade union and business representatives failed to reach an agreement with the government on the budget for next year. The police have arrested and charged two men who knowingly distributed a methanol mixture that caused poisonings of at least 67 people in the Czech Republic. Police President Martin Červíček and State Prosecutor Roman Kafka announced Monday at a press conference. The main suspect, a 42-year-old man from Ostrava, made a full confession on Friday night, saying that he and his accomplice prepared a lethal methanol and ethanol mixture that they then distributed through middleman to liquor producers. According to Mr. Kafka, the main motivation for his actions was financial gain. Police President Červíček warned that 15,000 liters of noxious methanol-laced alcohol has entered distribution, but not all of it has been accounted for. Charges have been brought against 42 people in connection to the distribution of methanol-laced liquor, which has killed 25 people in the Czech Republic. President Klaus has vetoed the government's pension reform bill. The bill introduced a so-called second pillar to the pension system, which would enable Czechs to send part of their compulsory pension insurance contributions to private accounts as of next year. The president is concerned that there is no consensus over the reform among experts, politicians, and the broader public. He also cautioned against introducing such a reform in an uncertain economic climate. The opposition-controlled Senate vetoed the same bill earlier, but the veto was overturned by the lower house of parliament in early September. Representatives of the government, trade unions, and employers did not come to an agreement over the proposal for next year's budget during tripartite negotiations on Monday. Union representatives rejected the budget proposal as a whole, and business representatives have reservations about it. Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek said the government will send the budget proposal to the lower house in its current state, along with the statements from the trade unions and employers' representatives. These were the first such negotiations in the past half a year, and there were doubts about whether they would take place at all after a spat between Prime Minister Petr Nečas and the head of the Bohemian-Moravian Confederation of Trade Unions last week. Trade union representatives have walked out of tripartite negotiations a number of times in the past. A 55-year-old man died of methanol poisoning in the North Moravian town of Havířov on Monday. The man was admitted to hospital on September 3rd in critical condition. He's the 25th victim of the recent outbreak of methanol poisoning and the 15th in the Moravian Silesian region. In the meantime, a hospital in the nearby city of Ostrava admitted yet another methanol patient in serious but not critical condition on Monday. Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek announced on Monday that the ministry is prepared to change or delay tax advances for alcohol producers who have been negatively affected by the ban on hard liquor. A ban on the sale of alcohol with 20% or more alcohol content was instituted on September 14th, and a ban on exports 6 days later. The government is currently preparing necessary measures to allow newly produced alcohol to enter onto the market again. Criminal police have cracked down on a gang of methamphetamine producers and marijuana growers in southern Moravia in the past few days. The police announced Monday that they have 10 suspects and 6 are already under prosecution. The main suspects were arrested in mid-September. 2 methamphetamine labs and over 60 marijuana plants were discovered during raids. This is one of the largest drug operations uncovered in the region in the past decade. According to investigators, the drug producers were purchasing the medicine to produce methamphetamine in the Polish city of Klatsko. And now for the weather. Partly cloudy and sunny skies with possible rain showers in the evening will be accompanied by slightly warmer temperatures, which will be between 22 and 24 degrees Celsius. I'm Masha Wilinski, and that's all for the news.
You You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, we look at a Czechs in Exile project leading up to September 28th, the day of Czech statehood, which this year is dedicated to the country's expats. This being Monday, we'll bring you a summary of the sports news. And in this week's one-on-one, we meet Dan Brown, a Canadian actor who stars in one of the Czech Republic's most popular soap operas.
The first year was hell because my Czech was not as good as it needed to be. I was getting by in Czech, but to act in another language is another thing altogether.
All that coming up, so do stay tuned. September 28th is St. Wenceslas Day, or the Day of Czech Statehood, and this year it is dedicated to Czechs in exile. To mark the occasion, Czech Radio, Czech Television and the Czech Foreign Ministry are co-hosting a project called Czechs in Exile, which aims to bring more insight into the life of Czechs who have settled abroad and made their mark there while maintaining strong links to their native country. The head of Radio Prague, Miroslav Krupička, explains the idea behind the project.
The estimate is that about 2.5 million of Czechs, or people of Czech or sometimes Czechoslovak origin, live abroad, most of them in the US, and it's a number of people. So the idea is to bring those people from abroad together with the Czechs living here and have them exchange ideas, interact somehow, to put those two worlds that are basically separated, to put them together. There's a number really of interesting events. One of them is the expatriate conference. This will start on Wednesday. It's a two-day event. There are about 200 people registered so far from about more than 20 countries, as far as I remember. And they will exchange ideas about how they live, what they do in their communities, what their problems are, whether they keep the language Czech, whether it's important to keep their culture. A special book will be published on the Czechoslovak exile, and so on and so forth. So it's really a festival of events and publications.
Oh, apart from portraying the life of Czechs abroad, this project, actually, in it, radio and TV listeners have the chance to elect by popular vote the greatest Czech living abroad. Can you tell us who is in the running for this honour and how the contest works?
We appealed, or the Czech radio appealed to the public, to the listeners, to send us, to give us nominations. And there were hundreds of nominations of various Czechs living abroad. We selected 20 of them, both important and interesting and publicly known people, and those unknown, scattered around the world of all age groups and so on, so that, you know, we have a good representation of 20 people. And then in the past 4 weeks, listeners of the Czech radio had a chance to vote, to give votes to those 20 personalities. The vote was closed on Friday. We are now counting the votes. Among the best three, or the top three, there are Bohdan Pomahač, the doctor living in the US that does the plastic surgery, then Madeleine Albright, the former U.S. Secretary of State, and Bjelagran Jensen, a woman from Norway who launched a centipede movement. It's a charity movement. So the winner will be announced on the day of the Czech statehood, on the 28th of September, this Friday, at the National Theatre. There'll be a sort of final celebration of all the exile activities, and the winner will be announced at this festive evening on Friday.
The head of Radio Prague, Miroslav Krupička, talking about the Czechs in Exile project linked to this year's St. Wenceslas Day. If you'd like to hear more about the event and why Czech expats have had such a hard time getting accepted by the Czech society, tune in to the full interview with Miroslav Krupička in Panorama on Thursday. Now it's time for the sports news with Jan Richter.
Two Czech football clubs, Viktoria Plzeň and Sparta Prague, began their campaign in the UEFA's Europa League last week. Plzeň, which finished third in the top Czech division last season, faced Portugal's Académica Coimbra in Group B in Plzeň on Thursday. Coimbra, which earned a spot in the European competition by winning the Portuguese FA Cup, went ahead 1-0 in the first half, but Plzeň soon levelled and won the game 3-1. Plzeň captain Pavel Horvát, who scored only his fourth career header in the game, said he thought the match would be more difficult.
I was expecting that they would be much more dangerous. They were, but we played well, save two or three moments in the first half when we underestimated defense, or a rebound or two, but they hardly created any opportunities, and we should have scored at least twice in the first half, and the whole match would have been different.
For their part, last year's Czech runners-up Sparta Prague played Olympic Lyonnais in Group I in France on Thursday and lost 2-1. Lyon were a better team, although it took them nearly an hour to score, adding another strike just 3 minutes later. Sparta got a consolation goal with a beautiful shot by midfielder Ladislav Krejčí. Plzeň will next play Atletico Madrid in Spain in October, while Sparta will host Athletic Bilbao. Back home, Czech football is heading towards a fresh corruption scandal. The news broke after Sparta Prague controversially lost to Plzeň in the seventh round of the Gambrinusliga. Sparta boss Daniel Křetínský then met with the head of the Czech FA, Miroslav Pelta, and told him he had hired the Pinkerton Detective Agency to investigate corruption in the top football division. Mr. Pelta, visibly shaken, almost immediately contacted the anti-corruption police, who took over the case. No details were discovered as to what kind of corruption was allegedly taking place, but rumours have it that it had to do with match-fixing and betting. Meanwhile, action has continued in the Gambrinusliga, with Plzeň tying 1-1 against Teplice, Jablonec beating Slovácko 1-0, Brno beating Jihlava 5-1, and Liberec drawing 2-2 against Ostrava. Jablonec shared the top spot with Plzeň, but Sparta could go ahead if they beat Olomouc later on Monday. Moving on to hockey now, where after 8 years abroad, Jaromír Jágr and other NHL stars are enjoying homecoming to the Tipsport Extraliga, thanks to the NHL lockout. Jágr of the Dallas Stars joined his own team, Kladno, along with Tomáš Plekanec of the Montreal Canadiens, Tomáš Tlustý of the Carolina Hurricanes and other players. Jágr first appeared in Wednesday's game against Slavia in Prague, which Kladno lost 2-3. But on Friday, Kladno took on Vítkovice and won 4-1. The 40-year-old star scored one goal and one assist in the match. On Sunday, Kladno beat Sparta Prague 3-2 and Jágr racked up another point. But Jaromír Jágr said he was expecting more people to come see the team, with all the NHL players on the roster.
I think our team couldn't get any stronger than this. Well, it could, but I don't think more people than 5,500 would come to see us anyway. There are 70,000 people living in Kladno, so it must be out of fashion to come see hockey. Sadly, more people would come to see us in Prague. But the atmosphere was great, and I think that those who came enjoyed it.
Other NHL players who returned home for the duration of the lockout include Roman Červenka of the Calgary Flames, who joined Slavia, Aleš Hemský of the Edmonton Oilers, who now plays for Pardubice, and Washington Capitals goalie Michal Neuwirth, who joined Sparta Prague. And finally, Czech multi-billionaire Zdeněk Bakala announced plans to revive the famous communist-era cycling event, the Peace Race. Founded in 1948, the race traditionally took place in Czechoslovakia, Poland and East Germany and was once the best-known amateur race in the communist bloc. Mr. Bakala, formerly a close collaborator of the late President Václav Havel, owns coal mines in Northern Moravia, the publishing house Economia and other assets. He spoke to Czech radio about his plans.
To je závod, který mnoha lidem chybí.
It's a race that many people miss. It was an important race, too. When you talk to Eddie Merckx or Hein Verbruggen from the UCI, they all say they miss it. I think it could be successful, and it would be worth reviving in a modern form.
Zdeněk
Bakala, who in 2010 bought a majority stake in the Belgian professional cycling team Quickstep, revealed no further details of his latest plan. For their part, the Czech Cycling Federation has been very cautious about the news, arguing they would say more when it becomes obvious whether the plan is realistic.
Thanks to Jan Richter for the sports news. And now, in this week's edition of One on One, Ian Willoughby speaks to Dan Brown. No, not the best-selling author of The Da Vinci Code. This particular Dan Brown is a Canadian actor who is famous in the Czech Republic for appearing on a popular and long-running TV drama series.
There are thousands of Westerners in Prague, but it's highly likely that none of them are as well known to ordinary Czechs as Dan Brown. He's a Canadian-born theatre director and actor, who for the last 8 years has been regularly appearing on one of the Czech Republic's most popular soap operas, TV Nova's Ulice, or The Street. When we spoke at a Prague cafe, Dan Brown described getting to grips with performing in Czech, and discuss the life of a jobbing English-speaking actor in the city. But I first asked him to introduce his character on Ulice, bar owner Henry Rettig.
Henry Rettig is an American from Texas who came to Prague shortly after the revolution, has a Czech grandmother, so there was a connection there, but didn't speak the language, learned the language, and worked in various, as so many expats here, in a whole pile of different areas, and eventually, with a love of jazz, opened up a small bar, a neighborhood bar, that played a lot of blues and jazz music.
Did the producers tell you why they wanted an American character in the show?
I think they wanted, in trying to make a soap opera that was kind of trying to be just about everybody and what normal life is like here, and that there are so many more foreigners now than there used to be. I think they wanted a few foreign characters. So there was a Russian, and then they brought in another Russian.
A mutual friend of ours, Glenn Emery, who has owned bars in Prague, several bars over the years, and who was also on Radio Prague's One on One in the past, he claims that your character is based on him. Is that true?
There are certain elements that are based on Glenn, but I have to work within the confines of what's written, and certain things about Glenn's character I couldn't get away with.
Have there been any particularly memorable or interesting storylines involving your character over the years?
Not that many, because I'm the neighborhood bar, so all the kind of other stories pass through the bar. One of my waitresses tried to kill herself, and I found her. That was interesting. I had to go away to Texas once because my uncle died and I inherited a ranch, apparently. And I was going to be gone for quite a long time, they told me, but I was back after a few months. So, and then they unfortunately changed my dress style. They just figured that if I was coming back from Texas, I should be kind of an urban cowboy. From that time on, about 6 years ago, 5 years ago, I've been wearing this kind of dreadful, not all of it, but some pretty bad cowboy shirts.
How have you found the experience of playing the same character for so many years, which I guess is something very few actors ever get a chance to do?
It's been very interesting. In times, it's been very dull. The first year was hell because my Czech was not as good as it needed to be. I was getting by in Czech, but to act in another language is another thing altogether. And I found it a terrible struggle. I remember thinking in the first few months, I'm not going to be here for more than half a year because I couldn't act. I was so stilted with the language. And then I became more familiar with it, and I also realized I could improvise a little bit and speak, because they didn't write Czech. Czech writing Czech the way they think a foreigner speaks Czech is actually not the same way. All kinds of words that I would never use were being written, and then mistakes that I would never make, they were writing in for me.
So do they allow you to tweak it to meet your own limitations, so to speak?
Yes, and sometimes to go beyond as well, because there are certain things I do know how to say and colloquialisms and expressions that I'm fine with that they wouldn't think I'd be able to. And then there's other, again, I still get they'll write mistakes in for me that I wouldn't make after this long, or they think it's funny. But the general question about playing it as an actor is it is fascinating. After a few years, you just feel like you don't have to do any preparation. You walk in, once your costume's on, you're there's not even any thought to making it into that character. And there, I mean, it is acting, but it becomes second nature very much.
When one thinks of soap operas, big soap operas in the West, one imagines that the actors are recognized everywhere they go. Does that happen to you?
It does happen to me. Not, I mean, I don't get swarmed and swamped everywhere I go, but it's pretty much a daily occasion. And probably two or three times a week, somebody wants a photograph or an autograph.
Tell us about the other work that you do. You were telling me that you work in video games.
Yes, I've been working for years now. It started by doing demos and often doing all the voices for a demo that would then, they were trying to sell the game to a distributor, which would then, they would finish the production somewhere else. But over the years, we've actually managed to build up, build up a very good relationship with several of these companies where I was pushing for years that, look, we can do the final product here. And now, I cast and direct the voicing for several video games.
What kind of stuff? Any hits?
The most well-known is probably Arma and Arma 2, Arma 3 coming out at some point, which is made by Bohemia Interactive. It's a follow-up game to Operation Flashpoint, which was a huge worldwide success. Apparently, I don't play games. That they couldn't use the name. They had to change the name from Operation Flashpoint to Armed Assault because of they had sold the copyright to a different company.
Generally speaking, is there a lot of work here for foreign actors? I know in the past there was a lot of work, say, in the 90s, but now how is the scene?
It seems to be picking up again right now. It went very, very thin, so to speak, in the mid-2000s, early 2000s to mid-2000s. A lot of productions for American and British and other foreign productions, stuff that was working in English, started moving further east because it was cheaper. They built new studios in Hungary and Romania, I believe. But and also there was no, almost everywhere in the world where there's a film industry and a film commission, there's also tax loopholes and incentives for film companies, and that didn't happen until 2008. I can't remember what year exactly it was. And because of that change, there seems to be a lot more productions coming in. It's not at the level it was in the 90s and the early 2000s, but there are films being made regularly now, English language films.
Are there any big movies or TV series you've been involved in that people might know the names of?
Probably. I'm terrible with these things. I shoot something and I forget about it immediately. I was acting coach on the ABC Anne Frank. I was acting coach for the kids. Anne Frank, The Whole Story or something like that, which was a mini-series. I've been doing some work right now on the Borgias that they're shooting at Berendorf, well, and in Italy and around and about. Dune actually was two different. I got killed in the first one, and then I was somebody else in the second. I just finished a Czech film, which has been shot in English, which was based on an Arnold Lustig story, which will come out in December, I think, called Colette. I hope it will be very good. The script's nice. I probably have, but I Heart's War with Bruce Willis, that was a dreadful film, though. Am I allowed to say that? Unfortunately, there hasn't been a lot of high quality. There have been some high quality stuff that's come through here, but we get cast in such small roles usually. Occasionally, something will come, and there'll be something a little better, or bigger roles in smaller films, which is fine.
Finally, to get back to Ulica, the street, is that something that you will do indefinitely, and do you regard it as your bread and butter?
Because I've got I don't have a main role. It can't be my bread and butter because I'm supporting a whole bunch of kids, and I only shoot. I don't shoot enough for it to pay for my living. So it's probably, but it is the most consistent because I'm freelance. So I know that every month there'll be something. It goes up and down, but it's not my bread and butter. I will stay. Yeah, I mean, if they don't do anything with the character, I might go a little bit crazy. But I also need the financial. I can't say no to work. We're prostitutes, actors.
How much notice would you have to give if you wanted to leave and they would, I don't know, write out Henry Rettig and send him back to Texas, maybe?
I don't know. They might do it to me. Who knows? I think I would have to give, it's in my contract, 6 months or something. I've got a feeling they're going to send me away again for a while and see how things go, but nobody, I don't know. Nobody knows. It's just my guess. Because they're always doing this to see how the audience react and then, you know, they may bring me back and change my role. Who knows?
Maybe your outfits.
Maybe my outfits, please.
And that was Canadian actor Dan Brown, Ian Willoughby's guest on One on One. And I'm afraid that's brought us to the end of today's programme from Prague. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you. This is Danielle Azarova saying thanks for joining us today and goodbye.